The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The text of our sermon today is John chapter 12, verses 27 to 36. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. The people answered him, we have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. And how can you say, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said to them, a little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke, and departed, and was hidden from them. Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, Jesus lived his whole life in the shadow of the cross. He knew what was confronting him. He realised very deeply all that was approaching: suffering, disgrace, humiliation, and distress. When Jesus was fasting in the desert, Satan tried to deflect his footsteps from the way of the cross into a path that would take him to riches, to glory, to honour, and to renown. We dare not think that the distress which Jesus felt when he thought of what was before him was without sting and torture, simply because he was omniscient. He was truly human and more sensitive to evil than we are. He sighed when he touched the ear of the deaf and the dumb, because his sympathies were roused to the utmost by the suffering caused by sin. He wept over Jerusalem. He wept at the grave of Lazarus. He fell to the ground in Gethsemane. He exclaimed, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Not only when Jesus was crucified, not only when he was lashed by soldiers, not only when he bore his cross, but during all his life, whenever the shadow of the cross became dark, his soul entered into gloom. We have a case of this right here in our text, where he states, now my soul is troubled. Troubled his soul was. Troubled with worse trouble than we have ever experienced. Troubled with the utmost distress, beset by satanic powers, overwhelmed with sorrow because of the sin of the world. Troubled because of that tremendous burden, heavier than anyone has ever borne. It was the shadow of the cross. It was hell and the armies of hell which were approaching. Never was there such conflict in the soul of man as hearing Jesus when he said, Father, save me from this hour. Oh, there was darkness in that suffering of Jesus beyond all other darkness. There was a repelling force in that threatening cross, something that could frighten the most stalwart heart. But thanks be to God, Jesus conquered the woe of his own soul. And how did he do it? The Father showed him the light and the magnetism of the cross. And right here lies our victory and our salvation. The rest of our text speaks of this. So let us therefore consider the light and the magnetism of the cross. May the Lord bless our meditation. Firstly, the light and the magnetism of the cross, its light. In order to appreciate the light of the cross, we must first of all know something of the darkness which that light is illuminating. We may not always be conscious of it, but sooner or later everyone becomes conscious of it to a certain degree. There is a terrible darkness in the world, and a terrible misery, and the misery of sin it is, suffering and death. Some people make light of these things, talk of them as if they could easily be avoided, but they are the very ones who will go down into despair when they begin to realise, even in a small measure, how dark sin, suffering and death of this world is. We read in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 9, that fools mock at sin. The best people on this earth are in constant conflict with sin, groaning because of its assaults. We read in Romans chapter 7, verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? People are aching under a deep sense of guilt. The psalmist says in Psalm 32, When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. And those who are not groaning, aching, praying and repenting with tears, are but laughing and walking the ways of sin, are the ones who are standing in slippery places. They will soon be brought to desolation as in a moment. They will be consumed with terrors. Woe unto the uttermost will come upon them. They're on the road to that place where their worm does not die and their fire is not quenched. They shall be an abhorrence to all flesh. Oh, the darkness of sin, the misery of our warfare with it, the terror of its slavery, the woe of its curse. Even in this world, the prisons, asylums and hospitals, together with their deformed and demented inmates, young and old, are a terrifying testimony to the darkness of sin. And then there is suffering in this world, caused directly by our own sin, or by the sin of those who have gone before us, or by the sin of those who live with us. We all know that the very danger of sin, and that it can make any one of us miserable every day of our lives. Why do mothers plead that they may live until their children have grown up? Scripture says in Job chapter 5 verse 7, Yet man is born to trouble, as the sparks fly upward. There is the agony of mind which has driven common sense from its throne and peace from the heart. There is hunger and thirst, pains and ills for every nerve in our bodies. Oh, the darkness of the suffering, the misery of it all. And then there is death, sometimes called the king of terrors. Every one of us knows that whatever of material things we gain in this world, finally death will take from us. And who has found a remedy? Those who die young are mourned because their sun has set before it reached its zenith, and those who become old are a pitiful sight to all who see them. The dread of it is upon us every hour. We read in 1 Samuel chapter 20 verse 3, But truly as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, there is but a step between me and death. We teach our little children to pray, Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray thee, Lord, my soul to keep. And it continues, If I should die before I wake, I pray thee, Lord, my soul to take. The very uncertainty of it all is a part of its darkness, misery and gloom. The darkness and sorrow of it all has driven thousands of people to despair and to contempt life. But for all this darkness, there is a light of which our text speaks to us today. It is the light of the cross of Christ. Jesus speaks here of his being lifted up from the earth. He speaks of his crucifixion, and in connection with this, he tells the people, A little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have light. While you have light, believe the light. Jesus was pointing them to the light of the cross. It illuminates the darkness of sin of which we spoke before. For through the cross, Christ took away the guilt, the punishment, and the dominion of sin, and through the word of the cross, he bestows upon sinful people pardon, forgiveness, freedom from the punishment of sin, and the power to fight against and conquer sin. Oh, what a splendour of light the Christians have in the cross of Christ. It was this very light which cheered Jesus when he was in gloom, for the Father said to him, I have glorified your name, and will glorify it again. Has this light dispelled the gloom of your sin? Take comfort in the words of Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Let us learn to say with the hymnist, in the cross of Christ I glory, towering o'er the reeks of time. All the light of sacred story gathers round its head sublime. And the cross illuminates the suffering of this world. We Christians know that whatever our suffering is, the curse is not in it, for Jesus Christ bore that curse for us. Whatever suffering we must endure, in the light of the cross we learn that it is but chastisement and discipline, or that it is but a trial, and we learn to rejoice in suffering for Jesus' sake. We read in Acts chapter 5, verse 41, So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Or whether it be that suffering which we must endure as members of the mystical body of Christ, or whether it be the chastisement which we receive as children, and which shows the loving care which God bestows upon our training, we can endure it while faith clings to the cross. It is the cross which teaches us to say with St. Paul in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And the light of the cross illuminates death. For through the cross of Christ we know that we are delivered from death. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, that our Saviour Jesus Christ has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light. Through the light of the cross we learn of the resurrection and learn to say, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a splendour of light the cross sheds in the darkness of this world. The prince of darkness is put to flight, sin's guilt and curse vanish. Suffering becomes sowing in tears that we may soon reap with joy. Death becomes a gateway into the many mansions that Jesus has gone to prepare for us. And so the hymnist continues, Bane and blessing, pain and pleasure, by the cross are sanctified. Peace there is that knows no measure, joys that through all time abide. Are you living in this light of the cross, or are you foolishly and wickedly excluding it from your life and living in the darkness that is certainly all around us? Are you helping to let this light shed its lustre into the lives of others, or are you carelessly permitting them to go on in the darkness of despair? So let us help shed this light, as the hymnist expressed it and as we sang before. Can we, whose souls are lighted with wisdom from on high, can we to men be lighted, the lamp of life deny? Salvation, O salvation, the joyful sound proclaim, till each remotest nation has learned Messiah's name. So secondly, the light and magnetism of the cross, it's magnetism. But there is something else about the cross that brought joy to the heart of Jesus and must bring joy and gladness to us also. That is its magnetism. The Father reminds Jesus of that. In our text, Jesus declares, And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. There is need of such power to draw us away from our own folly and of sin, destruction, for there are terrible powers of evil that hold people captive. The Bible calls the prince of this world a strong man armed. And Paul declares in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. He uses these terms to impress us with the fact that the powers of darkness are not insignificant, but are far superior to our flesh and blood. Luther also declares this battle against darkness. He wrote, With might of ours cannot be done, soon were our loss effected. Haven't you heard of people being held in bondage of sin and of bad habits? Many of them confess that they are helplessly lost because an evil power obsesses them. Have you not felt the power of sin? Do not some poor desperate people take hold of the most ridiculous superstition that follies in order to receive some help against the powers of darkness. What is needed is some magnet to draw people away from their own wickedness, sin and guilt. Where is there a power that will draw us to God and to holiness? Here it is, in the cross of Christ. That is a magnet of which Jesus says, "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." When Jesus is lifted up, that is, when his name is proclaimed, his crucifixion, his sin for death, in other words, when the gospel is preached, then the word of the cross exerts its power. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 23 and 24, "But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." That is what drew Paul away from his violent hatred and persecution and drew him to Christ and made out of the wolf the lamb. That is what drew Peter from the gulf of iniquity into which his sin had cast him and placed his feet upon a rock and led him in the way everlasting. That is what drew David away from his filth and shame and drew him again to holiness till his heart was filled with godliness and his lips began to speak the praises of the Lord again. Throughout all these centuries, the cross of Christ has drawn all people to it. True, some flee from it, some oppose it, some ridicule it. But there are always many people who rejoice to be drawn to the cross and led in the path of righteousness and away from error. For example, Moses, as you read in Hebrews chapter 11, "By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt." Other examples include Rahab and Ruth. So therefore we pray, "Jesus, grant that balm and healing in thy holy wounds I find, every hour that I am feeling pains of body and of mind, should some evil thought rush in and provoke my soul to sin, show the peril and from sinning keep me from its first beginning." It is because by looking at the cross we see what it means, as written in John chapter 3 verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." We are drawn away from the folly, the wickedness and the filth of this world, and we are drawn to the fountain where we are washed from every guilty stain, and we are drawn to walk in the paths of holiness. And therefore we also pray, "Draw us to thee, for then shall we walk in thy steps forever, and hasten on where thou art gone to be with thee, dear Saviour. Draw us to thee, O grant that we may walk the road to heaven. Direct our way, lest we should stray, and from thy paths be driven." Is this magnet drawing you? Has it drawn you? It is the only power that can draw us to God and to heaven. Be sure that you consider it daily. Look upon it, so that through its magnetism, you may be drawn there, where there is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.